Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. Jonathan de Burke Butler joins us once again to bring us some stories from other parts of the planet. Sure. Jonathan, good afternoon to you. We're going to go to the UK first, and it's not a Brexit story.
It is not a Brexit story. It's a story about a pensioner, a man by the name of Yu Fook Sam, who is 67 years old and resides in Merseyside at the moment, but he's originally from Malaysia. Now, he came to the UK.
And that's his real name. He didn't make that one up.
It's not for the purposes of this story. It is his real name. So he came to the UK in 2005 on a visit visa, but he decided to stay and found himself a bit of work. When he was arrested in 2015 or 2016 for working illegally, he decided that he wanted to claim asylum in the UK because he was homosexual. Or at least that's what he said anyway. So he said he was married in Malaysia. He had two kids, and when his wife found out about him, she left him and he felt that it was time to go. So he was 10 years in the United Kingdom working on this visit visa illegally, and then when he gets caught, he decides to claim asylum. Okay, now the cut a long story short, the Immigration and Asylum Chamber have basically said they don't believe him. And he appealed, and the appeals court said, we don't believe you either. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting case because they said, taking all of the evidence in the round, I do find the appellant is not a homosexual as he claims. Now, he told the
Did they have a gaydar?
How do you define a homosexual?
It's pretty easy. But it is.
I mean, I suppose in a narrow view.
Yeah.
But he pointed out, and he told the Home Office, he said, I'm 67. I do not need sex. And if homosexuality is, it defined in that regard.
Okay.
You know, how does it get defined then if that's taken out of the equation, I suppose?
I'm sure we have lots of gay and lesbian listeners who can tell us about
absolutely.
Is there some other way to establish whether Yu Fook Sam is lying or not?
Absolutely.
So at the moment, what's he going to do, or is he going to get deported?
He's getting it. It looks like it. There's a petition to prevent him being deported, and that's got about 1,000 signatures. But I doubt that's going to work, to be honest with you. So as it stands, yes, he will be deported.
Right. Okay. Switzerland. We're going to go to next, and this is a story about a VAT on tampons. Which is actually, this is an issue in many countries, how expensive they are.
Yeah, I think it was here as well for a long time, and they reduced the VAT rate. The Swiss government has come out in support of a motion that would see VAT on what they're calling period products reduced from 7.7% to 2.5%. Okay, so the person, the MP who's championing this particular motion says that women are unjustly penalised to a high degree, and he pointed out that the low VAT rate, this 2.5%, applies to books, medicines, cat litter, okay, and various different other products. So he says, it should apply to, period products, as they're calling them in this particular
There seems to be almost an assumption, not just in Switzerland, but in many countries, that they put it on a higher VAT rate as if it's some sort of luxury product that you have an option.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. So I think that's what they're trying to get rid of there. But it's happening in a few countries. I believe the EU are bringing in measures in order. I assume they would be directives, though.
Yeah.
To basically say to other countries that they should do the same within the European Union.
Right. Tanzania we're going to next. And this is a story about the Ivory Queen. Who is the Ivory Queen?
The Ivory Queen is a businesswoman by the name of Yang Fen Glan. She's 69 and she's been living in Tanzania since the 1970s. She was obviously an integral part of the Chinese community in that part of the world, and I suppose a bit of a pioneer in many respects. She had a restaurant in the capital, Dar es Salaam. She was the Secretary General of the Tanzania China Africa Business Council, but it seems that she used that position in order to do well for herself ways that were not legal. Namely, she was exporting ivory to China. Now, between 2000 and 2004, apparently she smuggled or was involved in smuggling 860 pieces of ivory to a value of about 5 million euros out to China and
my
that
word.
Part of the world. So it involved something like, it would have involved something like, they estimate over 350 elephants being killed. So 2 years ago, she was caught along with two colleagues of her, or accomplices, or whatever you want to call them. And all three were sentenced to 15 years in prison last year. So they take it very seriously. And from the point of view, if you look at Tanzania and the amount of money that's coming in from China into parts of Africa, and specifically Tanzania, it's quite a strong statement from the Tanzanian judiciary, to say we won't tolerate this kind of thing, no matter what citizen it's from. So she's going to be flung in jail now for 15 years. And given that she's 69 now, it'll be a while before she gets out anyway, I'd say.
Right, okay.
But I should say they needed to take action on it. I mean, the population shrank from 110,000, that's the elephant population, shrank from 110,000 in 2009 to just over 43,000 in 2014. So
yeah, but she always denied the charges, did she?
She denied the charges.
She just claimed that the Chinese restaurant was doing really well.
Something like that.
Yes. Right, Turkmenistan. And is there a ban there on women driving?
We don't know, because there's nothing actually written down and no edicts have been declared. Now, every time we go to Turkmenistan, we're always talking about strange laws and edicts that are given by the well-known president there. He's been there since 2007, Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, who everybody loves me saying. This latest thing seems to come off the back of a report that he commissioned into traffic problems specifically in Ashgabat, which is the capital of Turkmenistan.
Okay.
Right? So the interior minister apparently in his report came to him and said that women drivers were the cause of most traffic accidents. So statistically they must be very different in Turkmenistan from the rest of the world, but according to this report anyway, women drivers were responsible for more crashes than men. And so therefore the way of dealing with that apparently in Turkmenistan is to take them off the road completely. And that's what they've been doing, according to reports.
Right, okay. But then again, it's according to reports that there's been no actual law passed.
There's been no law passed, but police are pulling women drivers over on the street and they're looking at their cars, and if they have things, this is according to witnesses now, if they don't have fire extinguishers or there's no glass in the rear view mirror or something's wrong, they'll take the cars off the road.
Right,
and we're talking about, a lot of cars at a time, according to witness reports. And it comes off the back of reports from a few months ago that they were failing their driving tests in larger numbers than men were. So there seems to be something going on.
There's also a ban on black cars in Turkmenistan.
Yeah, that was issued 4 years ago, actually, originally. And that's, again, because Berdimuhamedov doesn't like that colour. It seems to think they're sinister. And it was reissued then again a month ago. So he's slightly capricious, I think would be the word in this context.
Okay, so a female driver in a black car in Turkmenistan, not a good idea at all. Right, a far more serious story, not to undermine the seriousness of the story in Turkmenistan, but this is Bangladesh. 110 people die in a fire.
Yeah, did you hear?
Yes, that was a bit wide reported.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, 110 people died in a big fire in Dhaka that happened last week at some point. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. So given that they've had tragedies like this before quite recently, wasn't it 2012 where that factory went up in flames and killed about 120 people, it seems that their efforts to sort of sort the problem out haven't reached this part of the city anyway.
Yeah.
So it appears that a cylinder exploded in a car and that triggered off other explosions in the area, and then it got the fire reached chemicals which then made the situation even worse. So the speed of the fire was apparently unbelievable, and that was the reason for the high death toll.
Yeah, that is, and I suppose the problem with these things is that these accidents happen, but then very little is done afterwards to investigate what the standards are.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is that the government actually took measures to do something about this, but there were traders and people who had an interest in keeping the status quo vis-a-vis buildings and warehouses that had been put up effectively without planning permission were blocked. So now that this has happened, the government have said, well, look, this is what happens when when you stop us from taking measures to sort the situation out.
Mm-hmm. Right, India we're going to go to now. And this is a move to protect a forest, but it might affect millions of people.
Well, it's several forests, I think, in several different states. It involves about 20 or 21 states in the north and east of India, I believe. So it's kind of long story, but there was two acts, one in 1927 and one in 1972, which effectively said that the government could go into a forest and declare it in whatever manner they saw fit, okay, as being owned by the government. And in order to look after the indigenous people who lived on the land, they set up a route through which claims could be settled, but that was done by a forest settlement officer. Now, you can imagine in the years from, you know, 1972 up until recently, how that was kind of abused by certain people. So in 2006, they brought in a Forest Rights Act, which basically meant it swung the pendulum the other way. It gave Indigenous people more rights to their land. But that, according to conservationists at least, was abused by people who were making claims on land that wasn't necessarily theirs. So now the Supreme Court has been asked to come in and make a decision on that Rights Act and basically declare it invalid, and it would appear that they have found in favour of the conservationists, and thus some people are saying that the claims that have been made by 2 million people, 1 million of those have been rendered invalid, okay? And those conservationists are now asking for these people to be evicted off their land. At least that's how the initial reports seem to frame it.
Okay.
Others are now coming back and saying, look, nobody's going to be evicted off land because most of these claims were made on land that wasn't theirs, but they had dwellings on land nearby anyway.
Yeah.
So all we're doing is we're taking off the extra land that they shouldn't have claimed in the first place off them, but they'll still be able to keep their houses. But in truth, nobody knows what's going to happen. And you could have a mass exodus of people being... Some people are saying you could have a mass exodus of people being shifted off the land, and where are they going to go? Others are saying, no. It's going to be fine. Nobody's going to be moved anywhere. But a decision needs to be made, according to the Supreme Court at least, by the middle of July. I think July 27th is when evictions will start.
Well, it sounds like the government's going to have to bring in emergency legislation of some sort to clear this up.
And they have an election that has to be held before May. So the timing of this for the BJP party is an absolute disaster.
Yeah, so have they said they're going to do, or is there any...
Modi has come out in favour of the indigenous people, or the people who are at least on the land. Now, it's worth saying, I should say the people who are on the land, because some of them are indigenous and wouldn't exactly be seen as the most popular sort by other sections of society, particularly the Adivasis, who number about 100 million and would... in many cases be treated like dirt, but that's another story for another program, probably. So it's very much people grappling at the moment with this directive that's been handed down by the, or this decision that's been handed down by the Supreme Court. But it's getting quite a lot of coverage, as you can imagine.
Yeah, because one would imagine that not least... Well, no matter how they interpret this ruling, but if they start evicting people who have been living in this forest, well, where are those people going to go?
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
That's more of a drain on, you know, on society in general. Right, Australia, we're going to go to now, and the Tinny terrorists.
Yeah, Tinny terrorists. These were six men who, between October of 2015 and May of 2016, decided that they were going to get into a fishing boat from Cape York, which is in the north of Australia, and they were going to sail in that fishing boat. Well, sorry, not six of them, but I'll come back to that in a minute. About four men, actually, were going to get into that fishing boat and go to the Philippines, where they were going to encourage others to bring down the Philippine government. Okay,
Just the four of them.
Now, there was two others. There was one who stayed in Australia and another who was already in the Philippines, who seems to have been the ringleader, a man by the name of Musa Chera Antonio, I think his name was. And so these six people, anyway, have now been sentenced or are about to be sentenced to time in prison, the various different lengths of sentences. So there's one man who's going to be in for 3 years and other three are going to be in for four. And the sentencing seems to be quite short, but the judge in his ruling basically said that he wanted to give them the opportunity to for rehabilitation and better protect the community in the long run, because he feels that they were manipulated and that they're still young men and they could sort of be de-extremized, if such a word exists. So that's the ruling that they've given. But an interesting sort of plan that they had, to sail all the way to the Philippines in a boat and overthrow the government.
It's almost sweet in its naivety. What should we look out for over the coming week, Jonathan?
Yeah, a few things to look out for. Macron and Merkel are going to be meeting this Wednesday in France. Estonia is looking at parliamentary elections happening on Sunday, and next Tuesday will be the 66th anniversary of the death of Joseph Stalin. So it'll be interesting to see.
Do they celebrate that now in Russia?
They mark it.
Do they? How interesting.
I don't know if they do overtly, but I'm just wondering, will they? I'm sure there'll be some people who will.
Jonathan, thanks very much for coming into us. Jonathan de Burke Butler there. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.